Welcome. Welcome, friends, to ArtCast. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, bringing you a wealth of architectural knowledge. Hey, and one of the things you need to know about is identity and access management. And, you know, here at Microsoft, we have a platform for that. We do. And it's been built on Active Directory. Now, a lot of you are thinking, well, that's, you know, like network infrastructure, and I don't need to know much about that. But let me tell you, Active Directory can do more than you think. And it has this little cousin named Atom. And so today, if you want to learn about Atom and Active Directory and the scenarios it supports, then you need to listen to Cannon Iyer, who is one of the guys who's been putting this all together for the last 10 years. And I think you're going to find it really useful, because you need to know here on ArtCast. Let me just introduce my guest today, Mr. Cannon Iyer. Hi, Cannon. How are you doing?
Hi, Don. Doing very good. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, and it's so good to have you here with me today, because today we're going to talk about something that a lot of architects are wondering about and sort of having questions about, and that is, you know, Active Directory and this thing called Atom, which, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know a lot about it. I've heard about it, you know, and I've often wondered, well, what's the difference between the two, and when would I use one versus the other? There's a lot of questions that we need to cover. And so today, we want to get kind of an overview of the whole identity and access platform, and then talk about how we can leverage these things in solutions that architects need to build, and then kind of walk through some scenarios where we think people could leverage these things. And really, I know a lot of guys in the architecture space kind of think of, oh, Active Directory, that belongs to the infrastructure guys, right? They take care of that, and I don't know what it is. But really, this is something that I think architects and developers need to know about, don't they?
That is true. That is true. And you were very nice in telling that Microsoft messed up and not conveying this message properly to developers and architects. But that is a fact.
But we're fixing it today.
Yes, that's exactly the goal. And all the developers and architects out there, listen up and please, please, please send us your questions so we could answer them right here, and we could answer them, address them in future as well.
Well, you know, of course, the one thing I often heard from architects is, you know, I need an identity solution, but I don't want to use Active Directory. And I say, why not? Well, because our infrastructure guys won't let me touch that thing. They won't let me near it. And if I want any kind of change, it's like, forget about that. You can't touch it. And so they ended up, you know, going off and building other crazy stuff because they just didn't know what to do. So that's one of the big problems that I see people running into.
That is true. And in fact, we had an executive briefing session the other day with one of the top banking companies here. And I remember he's the CIO care person who comes out and says, I do not want to unleash my developers on my domain controllers. And we really laughed and I had a real good laugh at it. And he says, no, this is really serious. I do not want to have developers mucking with my production domain controllers. And this was, again, 2-3 years ago when we heard this and we said, this is a perfect segue for me to introduce Atom. Maybe we could do the same thing here. This is a perfect timing for me to actually introduce what our thought process was when we designed Active Directory, and of course, what our applications were thinking and what we thought the proper usage should be.
Okay, but maybe before we do that, let's drill in just a little bit into what we talk about here on the slides about a digital identity. What is a digital identity?
Oh, pretty much everybody has an identity. It's just that you don't think of it as identity. You go to a place, show up your ID, identity, maybe a driver's license. It could be a Microsoft employee ID. It could be anything, right? It's just an identity. A way of identifying a person is a digital identity. It could be anything that defines a device, a user, an object, a computer, anything. That's all an identity is. And pretty much every single application that you think of is an identity-aware application. You need to tell the application, I am so-and-so, I want to do this.
Okay, and then we have a whole platform for addressing needs of identity. And there's some things on here that I also don't know a lot about. See, I'm a wealth of ignorance here today. We're talking about things like an integration services platform, MIIS.
That's right. There are three major components for identity and access platform.
Uh-huh.
The primary or the core is the directory service, which is the store.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, we have the access services where we have federation and fairly important topics that are covered in a different series of archives and webcasts that we'll be doing. And, of course, we have the integration services that provides all the data integration between identities located in various different data stores across the entire enterprise. These are the three major components. How these fit together is pretty much what we'll be talking about in the next few minutes.
Okay, so if we take a blast to the past, in the 90s, I'm remembering way back in the 90s when I used to work for a guy here at Microsoft who came from Banyan Vines. You remember them?
Mm-hmm.
Way back. And their big deal was, what was it called? Street Talk, I think, was their directory.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And I remember that was like, whoa, this is the coolest thing, Street Talk. And I had no idea what it was. But tell me a little bit about, this slide here kind of builds, so you're going to have to drive the build. But tell me about Active Directory in 1997.
So let me go back even further. While I was in college, somewhere in 1990, 91 or so, Banyan Vines was the network that our university was using.
Mm.
And when I joined Microsoft sometime 12 years ago, it's like completely different world that we had with Banyan Vines networks versus the Windows NT domain network. The NT domain network was providing pretty much everything that we needed with authentication. It was doing everything with authorization. But it was not a scalable store that we could go with hundreds of thousands of users in an intranet type of setup and with millions of users in an internet type of setup. See, again, we are talking about the dawn of the internet age.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we said, okay, we have to do something about this. Applications typically need a data store. They need authentication, authorization. We are not providing any of those.
Okay.
So we said in 1997, let's be the pioneer in this field. Let's take the identity out of the application. Let's take this out of this application space and move it into the platform. So we said Active Directory will be this huge monolithic single directory that will be available everywhere pervasively across the entire enterprise. And applications would be built to leverage the data that we put in here. We would have centralized management. HR-type applications would be driven off of Active Directory. And, of course, we'll have other portal-type of applications, white pages-type of applications that will retrieve this data the HR-type of applications put in. Plus, now that we have this across the entire enterprise, we, Microsoft, as an operating system provider, will run the infrastructure off of this directory. So that was our thought process. If we build a scalable, available, distributed, store, applications will come.
So yeah, it was, and in fact, they did. I mean, there was a lot of people who built things with Active Directory. It's been successful, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And this is where we went wrong. We were very successful in the infrastructure directory space. We were very successful because our entire enterprise was dependent on it. But the applications were not using directories appropriately. We failed to convey that we put the identity into the platform, and Microsoft has made this identity as a non-issue for application developers. And that is the place where we actually missed conveying the information to developers and architects. So what happened was applications were using directories on pretty much a per application basis with absolutely no sharing. If at all there was any synchronization, it was ad hoc, text-based synchronization.
So that looks like a kind of a painful picture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, even in Microsoft, I remember about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we still had this feed store application that we used to dump text files that were imported into 100 different applications every single day.
Oh, my goodness.
134 subscribers to it.
Okay, so we can do better. We can do better than that, right? So, in fact...
So somewhere around 2000 is where we actually went in and said, okay, this is not doing good.
Okay.
This is not the picture that we wanted to paint what is happening here. Let's do this analysis. And once we analyzed it, we figured the application directories actually needed independent, autonomous data stores. So we said, okay, we should come up with a solution for that. We have the LDAP store. Let's make it available. And that is where Atom fits in. The Active Directory implementation of the LDAP data store is what is available as Atom. Active Directory with all the infrastructure components will play the role of infrastructure directory. Atom, which is the core LDAP data store of Active Directory, would play the role of data directory for applications or application directories. And of course, customers by then had run into various different problems with multiple application directories all over the place. The directory proliferation resulted in identity proliferation, and eventually they ran into many identity management issues, and they came up with this concept called enterprise directory. The enterprise directory is basically consolidation of multiple application directories. Even though Active Directory was designed to be the enterprise directory and infrastructure directory, by then customers had moved to a model which simply could not be fit with Active Directory or would not be merged into the data that we have in Active Directory. So for such situations, again, Atom is our solution. AD as the infrastructure directory, Atom as the application directory, and MIS or Microsoft Identity Integration Server is our synchronization solution.
Well, you know, there's so many headaches around this, right? I mean, there was a big news story here in Seattle recently about an airline where they found that many former employees still had access to secured areas of the airport because their credential had not been invalidated since they were terminated at their employment. And that's the sort of thing that's an identity management headache. And these kind of headaches only proliferate when you have more and more and more stores and different systems to deal with. So you've rightly pointed out that you needed to have a way to get the kind of the best of this big directory that everybody could leverage. But there's, you know, the enterprise one for apps and the infrastructure one, so for network security.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Again, we still recommend AD as an enterprise directory if your enterprise can take it. If you already have signed up with an enterprise directory with a naming conflict or a schema conflict that could not fit with AD, absolutely you should feel free to use Atom.
And Atom just is not a guy down the hall. What does Atom stand for?
Atom is Active Directory Application Mode. So that again leads us nicely into the next slide that we have. What the heck is Atom?
Okay, great.
Is this just a code name? Is this a project? Is this still live? Is this alive or is it still in progress?
Or is it the guy down the hall? Okay.
It's just a new mode of AD.
Okay.
ADAM stands for Active Directory Application Mode. And this mode simply says Active Directory is not operating in a domain mode where it has a whole bunch of infrastructure components. It's acting in an application mode where it just handles the application data store requirements. So what exactly is the different components of Active Directory? We have this core directory service agent, which is the database and the database access layers. On top of that, we have the LDAP protocol head. For Active Directory, we also support MAPI protocol, which uses the NSPI interface. And of course, we have the replication head that provides you this multi-master replication, which is again a huge positive for Microsoft technology. This is a real-time, near real-time multi-master replication technology that uniquely is present in Microsoft. With other products, you have multi-master as long as you define multi as two or four or whatnot. In our case, it's true multi-master.
So that means that when I go to log on to any Microsoft server anywhere in the world, you know, it knows about me because even though I'm based here in Redmond, I do travel a lot and I get out to, you know, I was over in Thailand this summer or Australia in the fall. I mean, I can log on to places because it knows about me through that replication.
That is right. And we have, I think the biggest known setup is like 7,000 domain controllers around the entire world.
Wow.
That's our biggest customer.
And that is pretty amazing. That really is a feat to get that done.
Indeed. And of course, we have the security accounts manager that deals with the Landman accounts and now with Kerberos. We also had to put in DNS integration, FRS integration, and so on, which were intended to serve the infrastructure components.
Okay. You'll have to help me with some of these acronyms here. What is FRS?
FRS stands for File Replication Service.
Oh, okay.
And that's the one where you put a file into a specific folder and then it replicates across the
entire enterprise. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's very cool. All right, gotcha.
Indeed.
So, all right, so okay, go ahead.
So if you look at the big picture view, it is just the LDAP data store with LDAP protocol access,
mm-hmm.
along with MAPI replication layers that form the core Active Directory engine. Then we have all these external infrastructure dependencies.
Mm-hmm.
We said applications don't need those. Applications are just looking for the LDAP store. So we took AD, removed stuff out of it,
okay,
infrastructure components out of it, and made Atom. As simple as that.
Okay.
So the advantages here are you have the exact same code as Active Directory, same programming model, same replication model, same administration model, but a lot simpler.
Okay, I got you. And so the idea that, and then is if I was in one of these big organizations where I said, well, I need a directory store, but they won't let me touch the Active Directory, I can set up Atom, and I can do what I need to do for my application, and it can integrate with the Active Directory if it needs to?
Absolutely. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
It's built on the same code base. If it works against Atom, 99.9% it'll work exactly the same way without any changes on AD.
Okay. Yeah. So that's super. All right. So this has all been very nice and theoretical, but let's get down to some practical. What would a scenario look like if I was really building this?
Okay. So you tell me the scenario.
Oh, okay.
You are right, though. This is exactly the mistake that we have been doing at Microsoft.
Yeah.
We have been technology focused and giving technology to people. People don't care for technology. Developers and architects are trying to solve a business problem.
Okay.
Let's take a solution perspective. Let's look at it from the angle of an architect and say, okay, I have this problem.
Yeah.
I need to solve it. How do I solve it?
Okay, so, you know, we've got that big Active Directory, but we're a small business unit or a department or something, and we say, look, we want to track asset usage within our lab and report usage on that. We want to leverage the existing infrastructure as much as possible. How can we get this done with Atom?
Okay, so that's a real nice, easy requirement for us to take, right?
It's okay.
Very common. 75% of enterprises with 500 seats or above have Active Directory. So the scenario is fairly common. And again, there are a lot of requirements that smaller departments or labs can't place, except the corporate entities or the corporate central IT that manages Active Directory simply does not want to extend the schema willy-nilly or do not want to put data that is specific to one application in the domain controllers.
Well, and in fact, that's a really good point because a lot of people probably don't know this, but Active Directory, you can think of it like a big database that's replicated widely, and you can extend the schema to stick other things in there like, you know, my favorite flavor of ice cream. You could put that in the Active Directory schema if you wanted to.
Absolutely. And in fact, favorite drink is already in there as a part of Inotaurg person.
Oh, okay.
It's an internet RFC standard.
Well, there you go. So, you know, and that's how they know what sodas to stock in the fridge near me. Okay.
That is right. So now let's break down this set of requirements here to say, okay, what exactly are we going to develop here? We are going to develop two different applications. One is just the web front end where I can do self-service.
Mm-hmm.
I can sign in into the web page and say, okay, I'm going to take ownership of this particular machine for this duration, or I am done with this particular machine in the lab. I want to relinquish this asset back.
Okay.
So that's a kind of self-service type web application.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, there is a lab administrator who has to take ownership of these assets, assign ownership of assets, and do the administrative part or the, the management part of the day for the lab resources that the lab manager is managing.
Okay.
So that requires a richer client experience that can do a lot more things and generate reports, for example.
Okay.
So that's the solution that we are going to develop today. So now if you visualize the end solution, the fact that we know here is you have Active Directory,
mm-hmm.
and we need to develop a solution to leverage things that we already have to manage this lab resources. There needs to be a web client. The web client will need to provide self-service through a web portal. The portal will use the Active Directory users that we already have, the Windows network identity that we already have. It will not create its own users and cause identity management nightmares. It will store its data into some local store. In this case, we are proposing Atom based on the requirements. We'll talk in detail as to what the requirements are and how we came there. And of course, there will be some kind of synchronization of data between AD and Atom so that we maintain the data in Atom current. And finally, we'll also have a rich client that uses AD for authentication, and we'll use the data in the data store to do reporting and manipulation functions. So this is the proposed solution. It might look like voodoo magic. Let's make this real.
Okay, so I can tell already that the first question in my mind is, if it knows my identity from Active Directory, what else do we need to store in Atom there that's we're going to... So I'm sure you're going to get to that, but I just wanted to throw that out there so we can make sure we get to that.
Absolutely. So let's actually do a demo of what it looks like finally.
Okay.
Now, and then we'll break it down into parts.
Okay, but keep in mind that for my ArtCast listeners, they will not see anything here. So we have to be very verbal as we describe this.
Okay.
Okay, so all right, let's go ahead then.
Okay, so now let's go into the demo.
And at the moment, we are seeing Active Directory and the desktop of Canon's machine. Okay, go.
Okay, so now I did the desktop sharing to get onto the slides to the demo setup that I have.
Oh, yeah, and one more note. For those on the webcast, if you press F5, you see a nice full screen view. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so here I have two virtual PC setups. One for the server and the other for the client. The server here shows Active Directory already in place, and I have users, a few set of users already created. For example, I have a user by name Jesper Aberg, and then there are a couple more users, Eric Gruber, and a couple more users in the setup, so we know that there are users already present in the enterprise, and this is the server side of things. The client side of things is where it gets more interesting. Let me sign in as Jesper Aberg into the setup. And, of course, I want to mention that we'll be making all these VPCs available for download by developers and architects so they can play with exactly what I'm doing here.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
And we will be giving away the source code. We will be giving away everything that comes in this VPC that you are able to see today. Eventually, it's going through the licensing process now. And once we get the license agreements in place, it'll be made available for download on Microsoft.com.
Super. At no additional charge.
Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. So here is the self-service application that we have built. And let me open up the web page. It actually connects over to the server that we have running with IIS server. And in this case, I want to show that we could sign in using a different user account and get a different experience. So it's going to prompt me for credentials, and I'm going to put in my username and password. Again, this is not necessary for normal applications. I have set it up in such a way that I can do this to sign in using a different credential store. Okay, so once I sign in, the web page actually shows a list of users, a list of computer equipment that I have available in this inventory.
Hey, you know what? We just realized that, you remember how we turned off the acceleration on the video? We didn't do it on the VPC, so I'm seeing like a black square around your mouse.
Oh,
can we do that real quick?
Oh, absolutely. That should be fairly fast.
All right, good.
So I'm going into the settings to tune down acceleration.
Yeah, it causes a little problem on live meetings sometimes when we have the acceleration on. And we tested this earlier, but we didn't think about it being in the VPC also. So that's what's doing it.
Okay, is this better now?
Well, I can't tell yet because it still hasn't refreshed here, but I still see a black box, but who knows? Well, let's press ahead anyway. So now, a lot of intranet web apps don't prompt you for a login because they just use your credential. But in this case, you said you wanted to allow people to log in with a different identity if they want to.
For demo purposes, I wanted to have this ability to sign in using a different account.
Oh, I see. Okay, great.
But the beauty is that you do not need to set anything up. You do not need to put in a username and password normally for sign in.
Yeah.
And you directly get to the page that has a list of assets that you currently own. and you can get details on the assets.
Okay.
So in this case, I see that I have a computer and a KVM switch that I have signed up for, and I'm retrieving the details on this specific asset. And it's at this point, it's making the query into the data store to tell me that this is a computer that has 120 gig hard disk with 1 gig of RAM, so on and so forth.
Okay.
So this is the web client experience that I will have with visually seeing the assets that I currently own and relinquishing assets. So now moving on to the rich client experience. The rich client that we have is built on system.directory services, our managed code API. And this is a simple application that simply shows on one pane the list of users and all the different equipment that the users have checked in.
So this would be something like the lab manager would use.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's intended for one of the power users or an administrator type of user.
And now, what part of the stuff are you storing in the Atom? We haven't got to that yet.
Yes, okay. That's a beautiful question, except it's about 20 minutes ahead of time.
He's keeping me in suspense. I can't stand it. Okay.
So into the asset tracker application, you can now, you'd see that it's going to present a richer interface with a lot more richer details where you could assign various machines to different people and so on. Once this starts up, it looks like there are some refresh issues here.
Yeah, because I'm not seeing it here, that's for sure. I see something is happening. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, here it comes. All right.
It took a while to paint the screen.
Okay.
So anyway, you could see that there are multiple users listed here, and each user has specific set of machines checked out.
Okay.
Okay. So now let's return back to the slideshow to continue breaking this down so we can assimilate this better.
Okay, I got it.
So we have seen the end solution now.
Yeah.
This is what the final solution looks like. So now let's return back to the slide deck to continue on how did we get to this end solution.
Okay, great.
Okay, so what exactly would an application need? Why would we need to use Active Directory? What are we storing in Atom? And is there anything else that I need to do? The world doesn't revolve around AD and Atom. There are database-based applications. There are applications that use XML files as stores.
Sure.
How would these fit in? So a typical application, if you look at it, we can break it down into three different needs for an application. One is the access management need, which is I need to have users authenticated in my application. I need to validate the identity of whoever is presenting whatever credential. Then I need to tell this particular user is a level 2 subscriber of MSDN, so that person needs to see these set of things. While Mr. Y, who has signed in later or using a different credential, would be a level 3 subscriber who would see a completely different web page.
And so those different levels are like roles, right?
Bingo.
Getting it. Okay. All right. So go ahead.
So that's one set of needs. Then the next set of needs is a store to put in these users, to put in application configuration information, to put in data for the application in the first place, and anything else that the application need to persist through its sessions. And of course, the last piece is the lifecycle management, which was ignored for a fairly long time, but is coming back as a very important topic at this point. Because of the way that the data is dispersed through the organization, it becomes so difficult to manage it, to maintain it current. So application, when it is designed properly, right up front to maintain its lifecycle of its data, then it fits very well with the enterprise at this point.
Okay, so let's drill into a little bit on how the authentication needs are met in this application.
Okay, so what exactly is authentication? It's a means to verify the person who they say they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are the authentication requirements? You said specifically that I should not be creating an identity nightmare by creating users in my own data store.
Yeah, don't ask me to memorize another password. I can't do it. Especially those strong passwords. Do you know that I actually evolved a new system for strong passwords? Rather than memorizing what they are, I memorize a pattern on the keyboard and I shift that pattern around. So that way, if you ask me to write down my password, I can't do it without looking at a keyboard. It's really sick. But anyway, that's how I do it.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. A lot of customers have told us that they carry a post-it note with 13 passwords written on it. And that's not the difficult part, right?
Yeah.
The difficult part is if one password gets hacked, then imagine, okay, let me say I have a Microsoft domain account.
Yeah.
I have a 401k with whoever is a 401k provider.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I have to sign in externally.
Sure.
Using, say, my Hotmail account.
Right.
And that has a separate password of its own. The passport piece that has a password is a completely different password.
Yeah.
I go to my bank. It has a PIN.
Yeah.
It has a numeric only designation.
Yeah.
And, of course, I have account with Amazon and whatnot, right? So now, if you crack my Hotmail password, just imagine how many websites you can access.
Yeah. Because like me, you probably use the same password as much as possible.
Bingo.
It's pretty sad. Yeah.
Bingo. And this is one of the regularly used attack mechanisms. They just set up a web page. People attempt 3 or 4 passwords. They think, I have this password.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you have 4 passwords that are potential candidates for a particular person. All you need to do is set up a web page. On the 4th attempt, let them in.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but we're out of time for this episode of ArtCast. I know. Hey, you know, a lot of you want to have me do these all at once and stuff, and hey, I'm doing what I can. But they just get so large. I can only do so large of a file, and then it starts to cause problems. So we're going to have no problems. We're going to do part 2 of this webcast tomorrow. And so you can listen in, see what's happening, and learn. I think this has been a very interesting conversation about Active Directory and passwords and identity. And there's much, much more to come as we continue this webcast along with questions from listeners. And we'll do that tomorrow because that's why we're here, to bring you information here on ArtCast. So stick around, my friends. We'll be back tomorrow with part 2. See you then.